Wisconsin's annual Conservation Congress meetings were held around the state this week. These gatherings allow the public to give input into the management of Wisconsin's lands and natural resources.
The meetings are held in every county of the state, and delegates listen to testimony given by members of the public. WPR reporter Chuck Kornbach joins us now to recap the meetings and the topics that got the most attention. Chuck, good to have you back on Central Time.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So there were, I understand, 88 measures on the ballot this year. What were some of them that garnered the most interest from the public?
Well, first we should mention that all of them were advisory questions, so none of them were binding that will bring about a change in state law overnight or anything like that. They were first 38 or so were asking the public to comment on DNR items that are in the rulemaking process that will go to the DNR board as early as May 24th, could go later than that. And then the other 50 or so questions came through the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. Again, advisory, the WCC, the Conservation Congress is the state recognized citizen advisory body to the DNR. So I can go into some of the questions now if you want.
Sure, that would be great. What was the range of topics that were covered?
Well, quite a few. I mean, a lot of them were fishing and hunting and bullet size and so on. But there were also a lot of citizen initiative ones that dealt with pollution and so on. I mean, some of I would tell you that of the 88, I think I counted this afternoon, that 81 passed. Only 7 were rejected. Some of them are really interesting, like one of the ones that passed was listing the monk parrot, which is not native species. It's released pets, I think, down in Chicago area. They're not established here. Listing the monk parrot as a depredating species under wildlife damage and nuisance control rules. Basically, it would mean people could get be able to destroy these monk parrots if they're ever found in Wisconsin without having to get the department, DNR's permission to do so first. But there are also questions that affected more a widespread number of hunters. For example, what passed was eliminating the fall turkey permit drawing in favor of over-the-counter issuance of permits. So important issues to hunters, maybe not as much as the widespread public, though.
Speaking of hunting, one of the issues that comes up fairly frequently is whether there should be a legal hunt of sandhill cranes in Wisconsin. Was that one of the issues this year?
Right. That was one of the questions in the Wisconsin Conservation Congress portion of the meeting, if you will. Some folks had brought back the issue again. It's passed twice before, again, as an advisory question. This year's question sort of begins the give the legislature and DNR permission to go ahead with the preliminary steps to creating a sandhill crane hunt. That passed by only 300 votes statewide. Was one of the closer items. It passed in 52 counties, rejected in 18, and tied in 2. For example, it lost in Milwaukee County, but some of the counties up north where there are claims by farmers and others that sandhill cranes cause crop damage, it got a better reception. But again, that's an item that has to next go to the Wisconsin Conservation Congress annual meeting, along with about 48 other questions. They're meeting May 12th and 13th in Oshkosh, I believe. And then the Conservation Congress will decide whether to try to push this with the DNR and legislature. And again, so far we haven't had the sandhill crane hunt get very far. A lot of conservation folks are against it. The International Crane Foundation has raised questions. So I wouldn't bet on that happening within the next year, but there is a sandhill crane hunt in a number of other states, so it could happen here eventually.
We're talking with WPR reporter Chuck Kornbach. He's based in Milwaukee and often covers environmental issues for WPR. So those 88 items that were on the agenda, Chuck, how do they make it there?
Well, again, to the Conservation Congress ones, they go through a process of meetings earlier in the last calendar year, last 12 months or so. Citizen groups will bring in initiatives. And I think what we've seen in recent years is some progressive groups or groups concerned about pollution and so on, that they're not getting satisfaction from the state legislature or the Walker administration. A number of them have gone through the Conservation Congress process to get this issue out into the public a bit. There was a question we previewed earlier this week about giving the DNR authority to suspend application for the study of pollution impacts of CAFOs. In other words, slowing permits down on CAFOs if there were tribal or local government concern. That came from the Ashland area with concern over the proposed hog CAFO in Bayfield County. So again, citizen groups are bringing these questions forward. Whether they'll turn into law, I don't know, but at least gets things on the table for a while.
And CAFOs being concentrated agricultural feeding operations, is that correct?
Animal feeding operations.
Animal feeding operations. Mm-hmm. So those really large, sometimes shorthanded as factory farms. So these hearings are held in every county of the state. How well attended do they tend to be?
Well, this year they had about 5,000, a little bit more than 5,000 people came to vote. The DNR told me today that number was up a bit from last year, but it was more along the lines of their average figures that they've had over the years. These hearings have been going on for decades, and they are indeed advertised as a chance for the citizens to make a difference. Again, what happens next, I think the DNR and the Conservation Congress and others have to weigh carefully if there's been a big vote in favor of something and then they don't do anything to support that vote. That can be a way to turn off the public sometimes if the vote is ignored. On the other hand, there are some things that if science or other questions come forward, then maybe there's a better reason to ignore some of the citizen initiatives. But it's sort of a delicate balancing act for the state to proceed on this, especially when there's been a big vote on something.
And Chuck, you said that the Conservation Congress meets, their annual meeting is in May. What happens between now and then with all of this information and opinion that's been gathered at all of these hearings?
Well, I think everybody's sort of tabulating and sorting through some of the results and looking at some of the county-by-county results because, again, there could be a big push coming from one part of the state and it's not so important to the other part of the state. So there'll be discussions and tabulations and discussions over liquids and, refreshments and so on between now and then, I suppose. But, again, the Conservation Congress items go before them in May 12th and 13th. These first 38 or so go to the DNR board as early as May 24th. I don't know if everything will be acted on that quickly or over the course of the summer or a little bit later in the year.
And what is the relationship between the delegates who are at these hearings and getting this feedback and, say, the DNR infrastructure? Who brings what to whom?
Well, it's my impression that there's a lot of informal meetings, and there's someone set up between the DNR board, for example, and the Conservation Congress. The Conservation Congress often testifies at DNR board meetings. In fact, they do not have to go to the time limit that others have to because it's, again, the state sanctioned or recognized advisory body. So there's often a close relationship between the Conservation Congress and DNR, but there have been some disagreements. There have been some times when the DNR has not acted on Conservation Congress policies, and again, the Sandhill Crane Hunt has not gotten very far so far. Whether that will change, that's one to watch.
And as we wrap up quickly, Chuck, are there issues that you'll be tracking closely as it moves forward in the process?
Well, one other thing that came up this afternoon was voted on Monday is that wolf protection groups are trying to remove dogs from Wisconsin bear hunting and other. And if the wolf hunt would ever come back, they don't want dogs to be part of that. And so there was actually support for efforts to curtail the use of dogs somewhat in some of these hunts. And that's one that we'll watch, especially if the federal government or the Congress reignite or restart the wolf hunt in Wisconsin.
All right. We'll have to leave it there, Chuck. Thanks for bringing us up to speed. Chuck Kornbach, WPR News.